And now we turn to the reading of Psalm 101. I'm going to read the first six verses of the psalm this morning. We're going to be focusing on verse 6 in our sermon. So I'm going to read the first six verses, the first six of the eight verses of Psalm 101. Will you listen? Because this is indeed the word of our God. I will sing of steadfast love and justice. To you, O Lord, I will make music. I will ponder the way that is blameless. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall be far from me. I will know nothing of evil. Whoever slanders his neighbor secretly, I will destroy. Whoever has a haughty look and an arrogant heart, I will not endure. I will look with favor on the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in the way that is blameless shall minister to me. And so we have the word of God. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we remember that you have a concern for how we are to conduct ourselves within the household of God. And so we pray that we who are your people here this morning might assemble before your word with anticipation, seeking that instruction. And Father, as we seek the guidance of your word, we pray that we might also have the enabling of your Holy Spirit, because even though we know the truth, we confess that we are apt to stray and quick to disobey. And so we look to you, praying that you would work in us. We ask also, our Father, that the Lord Jesus, the one who is faithful over God's house as a son, that the Lord Jesus might be the one whom we see in this your word, that our hearts might delight and rejoice. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. David is hiring. And that might not surprise us. David, of course, is king. And as we said at the outset of this series of sermons on Psalm 101, we're not quite sure just when this psalm may have been written. David may have penned the psalm before the time when he became king. If that were the case, David, of course, would be thinking about the various appointments that he is going to make to populate the royal household with all the various individuals that will allow the business of the household to go forward. Or it may be that the psalm was written after David has been installed as king. And we can well imagine that after David has been installed as king, there continues to be a need for new workers, new servants in the royal household. We saw last Lord's Day that David is apt to purge those who prove themselves to be unsatisfactory, those who are going to be cause difficulties in the household. They need to be replaced. But of course, in addition to that, we can well imagine that in David's household, there are those who, showing themselves to be faithful, are moved up. Are moved up in terms of the responsibilities given to them, so that others are needed to come in to take over the tasks that previously they fulfilled. Or again, simply the fact that David, as a king under whose leadership the kingdom is expanding, that with the expansion of the kingdom and with the prosperity of David's reign, the need for employees, the need for servants in the king's household is constantly increasing as that household grows in number and complexity, and the responsibilities are proliferating. And so we come to verse 6 this morning. We discover that David is looking for people who are worthy to come in and assume responsibilities in his household. We are interested. We're interested because, for one thing, Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, that those who trust in the Lord Jesus are members of God's household. So immediately we begin to sense some commonality, some sense of kinship. with those ones that David has in mind in Psalm 101, verse 6. And so we have that in our minds. And then, of course, that perennial question, what kinds of people are employable? What kinds of people are the ones who are going to be able to fill job opportunities and job openings? If you've ever applied for a job, or if you've ever gone out looking for work, that's going to be an important question for you. What kinds of qualities is the employer looking for? And so we come to our verse this morning, Psalm 101, verse 6, to learn the kinds of qualities that David is looking for in the ones that he is employing in the royal household. And in the two stanzas of the verse, the two portions of the verse, we notice a couple of different qualities that David is looking for. David is looking for people who are reliable, and he's looking for people who are going to be supportive. We see those two things emerge in verse 6. I will look with favor on the faithful in the land, the reliable ones, that they may dwell with me. They have the king's eye. He's looking for people who are faithful. And, says David in the second part of the verse, I'm looking for people who are going to be supportive. He who walks in the way that is blameless shall minister to me. So faithful people, reliable people, and people who are going to be supportive. King is seeking reliable people. Do you know reliable people? Are you a reliable person? You'll know that reliability is important. Faithfulness is important. I will look with favor, says David, on the faithful in the land, that he may dwell with me. I'm looking out for people who are faithful. It may very well be that David is taking his cue from Saul. The historian tells us in 1 Samuel 14, verse 32, that during the time when Saul was king, the Philistines were fighting. There was hard fighting against the Philistines, and the historian tells us that Saul, any time he saw a strong man or a valiant man, he attached him to himself. So you can imagine Saul going out, and when he was out and about, if he saw someone who was strong or someone who was valiant, he said, here, I need you for my army. I need you to sign up. You're the very kind of person that I need. David, we're told, is not looking for people who are strong or valiant. At this point, David is looking for people who are faithful. And of course, when the scripture, when the Psalms talk about faithfulness, the idea is someone who acts in a way that's consistent with God's law, someone who is a covenant-keeping kind of person, someone who has the kinds of characteristics that are described right way back at the very first psalm, the one who walks in righteousness, the one who stays away from those who are sinful, the one who makes it his business to know the law of the Lord and to walk in the ways of God. Those are good qualities. Those are qualities of faithfulness. Those are qualities of reliability. They're good qualities for a king. And in fact, in the Psalms, Psalm 18, Psalm 78, we discover those kinds of qualities are described as being good qualities for the king himself. David is someone who aspired to be faithful, reliable, someone who reliably walked in the ways of God. And oh my, we know what a mess David made of that, don't we? David did not show himself to be faithful. David fell into serious sin. You see, we're looking at the psalm. We're hearing David's appeal for faithful, reliable people to come and work for him. And perhaps we look at ourselves and we sense that perhaps we're not quite so reliable as we ought to be. We think of the Lord Jesus as the one who looks for faithful servants. And perhaps we look at ourselves and realize that we're not really that faithful at all. We're not so reliable. And then we remember David's experience, not only his experience of sin, but his experience of forgiveness. The 51st Psalm, the very first verse, David says, according to your loving kindness, have mercy on me. Or we might translate it differently. According to your faithfulness, according to your reliable mercy, Show me your mercy. Forgive me. We remember, you see, don't we, that though we are faithless, our God is faithful. Though we are sinful when we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our God is faithful. He is reliable. He's the one to whom we can come seeking forgiveness. And so with that, with that kind of background, then we can look at the kinds of people that David is appealing for. He wants people who are going to be godly, people who are quick to seek forgiveness, people who, even though perhaps they mess up and stray, yet they're going to constantly be coming with forgiveness, with a spirit of repentance, in order to be, in order to walk faithfully with God. Faithful people, reliable people, people who can walk in ways that are consistent with the standards of God. Those are the kinds of people that David is looking for. Saul was looking for people who were strong and valiant. David's looking for people who are faithful. I remember a friend of mine who owned his own business, and I recall how that friend, as he would go out, perhaps go to the store and meet a store clerk who was particularly helpful, particularly useful. My friend would reach in his pocket and give that store clerk his card and say, "If ever you're looking for a job, give me a call. You're the kind of person I'm looking for." What kinds of people does the Lord Jesus call into His service? What kinds of reliable people is the Lord Jesus looking for? He's the one, remember we read from Hebrews chapter 3, He's the one who is faithful over God's house as a son. Jesus is faithful in God's house, and then the writer to the Hebrews at the end of verse 6 says, "We are His house if we hold fast to our confidence and our boasting in our hope." We hold fast to our confidence and our boasting in our hope. Jesus is faithful. How are we to be faithful? How are we to be reliable? We are found to be faithful and reliable as we hold fast to our confidence, not our confidence in ourselves, our confidence in Jesus. We are to be people who are trusting in the Lord Jesus. Jesus is looking for those kinds of people to serve Him. John Calvin says that servants are the hands of a prince. Isn't that great? See, the prince is not going to get his hands dirty, but his servants, they're his hands. They're the one who, they're the ones who do his work. And of course, the Lord Jesus has called us to be His body. We are the body of which Jesus is the head. Jesus calls us to be His people. Faithfulness is a part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, isn't that right? Jesus, as He calls us to serve Him, as He gives to us His Holy Spirit, He helps us to be faithful, to walk in consistent ways in obedience to the Savior. How does He do that? We could break it out. We could spell it out. He does that by redeeming us. Remember how Paul explains in Ephesians chapter 2, we have been brought from death into life. He has saved us not by our works, but by His grace, but He has created us to do good works. Jesus redeems us in order that we can be the reliable servants in His household. You're redeemed by the Lord Jesus. Are you a reliable, faithful servant in Jesus' household? Here we are, a congregation of the Lord Jesus' people. We're looking ahead to our annual meeting. We're picking up our copies of the annual report. We're reading of some of the needs that exist within the household, the household of Jesus as it's represented here at Knox. And we ask ourselves, am I the one who is going to be found faithful and reliable to step in as needed in order to assist in that work? We grow in our abilities as we show ourselves faithful in the little things, the small things. Remember Jesus' words, "The one who is faithful over a little, that one I will set over much." You see, we start off by being faithful and reliable in the little things. You see, we learn to be faithful in big things if we're faithful and reliable in small things. Those small things are important. The small things that are necessary to be done, those are important. We might play them down. We might say, well, those are lowly tasks. In the eyes of the Lord Jesus, Jesus is looking for faithfulness. He's looking for obedience. He's looking for people who are ready to do even the small tasks, even what might seem like the menial tasks, because it's by being reliable in the little things, the things that perhaps are thankless, or that go unnoticed, it's by being faithful in those that we learn to grow in faithfulness so we can assume greater responsibility, so we can be trusted with greater things. Are you being faithful in the little things so that Jesus can entrust you with greater things? Are you looking to recognize those who are showing themselves to be faithful? There's a task for the elders, for the leaders of the congregation, to be looking for people who are showing themselves to be faithful. The special duty of those who are in authority is to identify faithful servants, to encourage them in their faithfulness, to deploy them in ways that are useful. Matthew Henry talks about the king, and you can think of Saul going around looking for those strong, valiant men, or you can think of David going around looking for the men who are going to show themselves to be faithful and reliable. And Matthew Henry says, he says this, listen, because he says it so much better than I could ever say it. He says, these faithful ones, his eyes, the king's eyes, shall be upon to discover them and find them out. For they were modest and did not crowd into the city to court preferment. Those are commonly most fit for places of honor and trust that are least fond of them. And therefore the wise princes will spy out such in their recesses and privacies. Hear what he's saying. He's saying the people who are faithful in big things, they're people who don't blow their own trumpets. They're not the people who go out and say, I want a big task, I want an important task. They are the people who are ready to do the small tasks faithfully. What are the small tasks that you have? Boys and girls, a small task might be tidying your room, or perhaps clearing away at the end, clearing your plate into the kitchen at the end of a meal. Those small tasks, it's by doing those little things to honor the Lord Jesus that we grow in the kinds of qualities that make us suitable to take on bigger and bigger responsibilities. David was looking around for people who are faithful, people who are reliable. The Lord Jesus recruits, the Lord Jesus makes people who are faithful, reliable, who will serve him. That's not all. We said there are two things that David is looking for, two qualities that he sees as being eminently hireable. The one is those who have that quality of faithfulness and reliability. And then the second is those who are going to be supportive. And David brings in now a very personal dimension. He says, he who walks in the way that is blameless shall minister to me. Now there's probably some overlap between the first part of the verse and the second part of the verse. Those who are faithful are the ones who walk blamelessly. And remember, when the Psalms talk about people walking blamelessly, they're not talking about people who've got perfect righteousness. They're talking about people who recognize their sinfulness and who are constantly coming, seeking God's forgiveness, who are constantly throwing themselves again on God for his help and his strength. Those blameless ones, says David, they shall minister to me. They shall serve me. And there's that very personal dimension that David introduces here. These ones, they're not just doing the work of the royal household. They're helping me. They're serving me. They're ministering to me. And maybe David is speaking as somebody who's sensing the weight and the gravity of the responsibilities of the throne, very weighty responsibilities, crushing responsibilities. And as he reflects on those crushing responsibilities, David looks for people on whom he can on whom he can rest. People are going to gather around him, who are going to minister to him, who are going to be serving him, who are going to be helping him. And of course, there's much for us to learn. We remember Moses in Exodus chapter 18. You remember how Moses was getting himself overworked, the responsibilities. Moses wasn't a king, but the position that he occupied was one that was analogous to the one that David occupied. He was the leader of the people of God back in Exodus. And as Moses assumed those responsibilities, Moses' father-in-law, who was a rather wise man, observed that Moses really wasn't working very smartly. And Moses' father-in-law called him to account. He says, "You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You're not able to do it alone." Have you ever taken on a task that's too heavy for you? Sometimes it doesn't seem too heavy at the outset. We take on the responsibility and it's great. We're managing just fine. But with the passage of time, it starts to bear us down, starts to crush us down. Those of us who were involved in the relocation process yesterday, that hallway in Edwin's former place, that's the longest hallway I've ever seen. And there we were yesterday, and the piece of furniture that you pick up, or the item of the box that you pick up at one end of that hallway, and you step out boldly with it, and by the time you've got halfway down the hallway, it's starting to get real heavy. And by the time you reach the far end of the hallway, you're glad to set it down. And isn't that our experience? We pick up things, we assume responsibilities, and we're excited. And then with the passage of time, we discover that it starts to become very burdensome. It starts to become very weighty. We realize that we need help. We need a support group. We need people around us. A God who is a triune God, God who is a community of persons. God created us in His image so that we can learn what it is to be a community. To be in community with other people is to be in the image of God. Who are you in community with? Who are the people who are around you? Who are the people who are sharing the burden that otherwise is going to become too heavy to you? Who are the people that are ministering to you? That's the language. That's the word that David uses. It just means serving. When you talk about, when you refer to someone like me as a minister, the word just really means servant, someone who serves. David says, I'm looking for people who are blameless in order that they may serve me. I have needs. I need people to help me, to support me, to bear me up. And the word that's used, the Hebrew word for serve, it's a word that's used in the Old Testament in two sets of different ways. It's used in the sense of someone who serves an important person, kind of people that David has in mind here. They will serve me, the servants who help someone who's important. Great example in the Old Testament, of course, is Joseph. Remember Joseph, he served Potiphar. And that's the word that's used to describe Joseph's relationship to Potiphar. He was someone upon whom Potiphar personally relied. You remember the great responsibilities that Joseph had in Potiphar's household. He was Potiphar's right-hand man. Potiphar relied on him so that you remember how Joseph realized what a betrayal of Potiphar's trust it would be for him to violate the relationship with Potiphar's wife. That's one way in which the word is used, to serve someone who is an important person. In the Old Testament, that word minister is used in another collection of contexts, the context of those who are serving God. So that when you read about the priests in the tabernacle or in the temple as they serve, the word that's used is the same word, they minister. So servants doing something that's very personal for someone who is important. And of course, isn't it marvelous then how those things come together? You are servants of the Lord Jesus. You serve the Lord Jesus. You serve Jesus in a very personal way. Do you remember Jesus talking in Matthew chapter 25, that picture of the great king speaking to the two groups? Remember, the groups are separated out, those, the sheep and the goats. And the king says, you know, you did this, you did that, you did. And they say, well, when did we do this? And Jesus says, when you did it to the least of these ones, you did it to me. As you served my people, you served me. Isn't that marvelous? As you serve the people of God, you are ministering to the Lord Jesus. You are serving God. That's a marvelous thing. Now, the people of God themselves might sometimes seem unworthy of your service, but the Lord Jesus is totally worthy of your service. So we surround ourselves with others. We're part of a community of mutually serving individuals, serving one another and serving the Lord Jesus as we do so. Someone has said, and you'll know that the statement, we're known by the company that we keep. Someone has said, not only are we known by the company that we keep, we are kept by that same company. Okay, the people whom we spend time with, the people with whom we surround ourselves, they're the ones who support us, who hold us up. They're our support group. They are the team on whom we rely. Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, fulfill the law of Christ, fulfill the royal law by bearing one another's burdens. And the word for burden there in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, it's the idea of something that's a dead weight, something that's just plain heavy, that's become burdensome to you, that's causing you to drag. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The Lord Jesus is looking for people to minister to him by serving his people. And so you can look around. You look around at your fellow servants. We can ask some questions. What is the community that I'm a part of? And you see, being a member of a church is not just about having a name on a roll. It's about being part of a community. It's about being a part of a network of relationships. You see, the body of Christ, the body parts are in big trouble when they're separated. You know, finger or toe gets chopped off, that finger or toe is in big trouble. Not going to last. The body functions effectively as it's knit together. So are you really part of a community of God's people? Does your life interrelate with the lives of others so that you can support them and be supported by them, so that you can minister to them, so that you can assist in bearing their burdens and so they can assist in bearing your burden? And of course, sometimes we look at people and, oh, they seem to be doing so marvelously well. They've been doing this for a long time, and we don't want to encroach on their space, but maybe they're the one who's been carrying that item of furniture down that long hallway, and they are about ready to fall flat on the floor. Don't hesitate to go to that person and say, you've been doing that for a long time. Can I help you? You've persevered. What a glorious example of perseverance you are, but I don't want to assume that it's easy for you. Can I help you? How can I pray for you? Is there a way that I can assist you? What can I do to help bear that burden? How can I be a part of your support group? You know, it's a marvelous thing that Paul the Apostle surrounded himself with people who were supportive of him. Marvelous individuals that we meet in the pages of the New Testament. Paul's letter to the Colossian Christians, chapter 4, Paul talks about Tychicus, and he also talks about Epaphras and Onesimus, three individuals whom he names in the course of his letter to the Colossians. And he says of Tychicus, he is a faithful brother and he is a beloved brother and a faithful minister. Okay, minister, he is a servant and a fellow servant. There's a kind of a a redundancy there. He is a beloved brother. He is a faithful minister. He is a fellow servant in the Lord. And I think that's marvelous. Here is Paul. You look at Paul and you think, my, oh my, the man is so filled with the Holy Spirit. The man is so powerfully endowed with spiritual gifts. And yet Paul gives thanks for these beloved brothers. They were dear to his heart. They were faithful servants, fellow laborers in the Lord Jesus. And Paul's heart overflowed with gratitude and love for those servants. You know, our human frame is such that we need the help and the support of others. You think of the Lord Jesus carrying that cross. And Jesus, fully God, but fully man. And Jesus bearing that cross and the cross crushing down on him to the point where he needed help. Isn't that amazing? Simon was enlisted, recruited to carry the cross because Jesus, being fully human, couldn't carry it by himself. You and I are fully human as well. We can only carry so much. We can only endure so much. We need others to help. We need others to assist. We need others to rally around. And David desires that that he will have people to minister to him. Oh yes, he's very particular. He says, the ones who walk in the way that is blameless. He wants to surround himself with a certain kind of people. People who are genuinely going to bear him up and not drag him down. See, we're known by the company we keep. We're kept by that same company. Do you have Christians in your lives who are going to point you to Jesus, who are going to encourage you spiritually, who are going to minister to you in a very personal way? David's talking about a personal ministry when he talks about looking for people who are blameless to minister to him. Who are the influential people in your life? Who are the people whose example you look to? Who are the people you go to when you need someone to pray? Who are the people you go to for advice? Who do you pick up the phone and call if you need help? See, we each should have people like that in our lives and in the household of the Lord Jesus. You are God's household. Remember Ephesians 2, verse 19, Hebrews 3, verse 6. You are God's household. So who are the people with whom you have those kinds of relationships, whom you're serving, whom you're ministering to, and who are ministering to you? And as they minister to you and as you minister to them, unworthy though we all may be, Jesus says, as you do it to these little ones, you are doing it to me. You are serving me. You are ministering to me as you serve my people. The Lord Jesus is looking for people to serve. Have you found your place in that network of faithful servants? Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for what is pictured for us here in this portion of your word. We ask that you would give us understanding, and that you would give us grace, that we might have the joy and delight of laboring together as servants of the Lord Jesus in fellowship with one another. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to confess our faith in words printed in the bulletin. We're going to sing praise. And first we will sing praise, hymn 517, I found a friend, oh such a friend, and then confessing our faith in words from Hebrews chapter 10. Will you rise to give praise to the Lord Jesus?